I'll tell you what, sometimes it may be legally right, and it might be the most that you can do, but it doesn't mean that it feels right. And that's the conclusion that I came to last night as news came down involving former Chiefs assistant coach Britt Reid charged with the DWI, including serious physical injury, a Class D felony with a potential jail sentence of 1 to 7 years, and prosecutors putting up a $100,000 bond. Now, I get it. Legally, that may be the most the prosecution can legally accomplish here and be allowed to do. I mean, we talk about that all the time in other cases, right? Whether it's shootings, is it first-degree murder, second-degree, third-degree manslaughter? Like, it's a nuanced game, and we talk about it all the time. But something about the idea of former Chiefs assistant Britt Reid spending $100,000, which is, you know, a quarter, literally, Andy Reid coaches for 8 minutes and he makes $100,000. I mean, more or less, when you're making $10 million a year. And spending maybe a year in prison when 5-year-old Ariel is still essentially a vegetable. Something about it just really rubs me the wrong way. Good to be with you on a Tuesday morning here on KCMO Talk Radio. So this came down yesterday that Gene Peters Baker, the Jackson County Prosecuting Attorney's Office, announcing that Reid had been charged with this DWI, serious physical injury. And he will be set to appear again 2 p.m. on May 27th. As part of his bond conditions, Reid is required to avoid consumption of alcohol and cannot enter an establishment where alcohol is the primary item for sale. This comes after we also found out that Britt Reid had a blood alcohol level of 0.113 over the legal limit of 0.08. Britt Reid, of course, just days before the Super Bowl, crashed his Dodge Ram pickup into two cars in the shoulder of the road right around Arrowhead Stadium shortly before 9 p.m. near the entrance ramp for Stadium Drive to southbound I-435. And that happened, obviously. The Chiefs get blown out in the Super Bowl a couple of days later. It's impossible to think and come to the conclusion that this did not play some role in what happened against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers that day. But either way, this was so much more important because you had a 5-year-old girl who nobody knew if she was going to make it. Now, the fact that she is alive is certainly something that we are all grateful for. But the reality is she's still using a feeding tube. She's still unable to walk or talk. I don't know what her prognosis is. I don't know what her prospects are to get back to being a normal kid. But something about all this still just it rubs me the wrong way. It doesn't feel right. I'm not saying it's not legally right. But you've got a 5-year-old girl who still is essentially not a functioning person. And because she's alive, Britt Reid may avoid decades in prison. Our partners at KCTV5 had the latest on this last night in their 10 o'clock news. Here is Angie Rincona with the latest.
Ariel was a typical 5-year-old hanging out in the back seat of a car while her family helped another family member having car trouble. This is what the cars looked like after the crash. The family was making a phone call, so voicemail captured the aftermath.
Ariel
has been released from the hospital, but remains unresponsive.
Ariel has not walked, she has not talked, and she cannot eat, and she is dependent upon a feeding tube for basic nutrition.
Ariel suffered a severe traumatic brain injury, a parietal fracture, meaning her skull was cracked, brain contusions, and subdural hematomas, or brain bleeds.
You know, every day is a struggle.
Charging documents reveal Britt Reid was traveling 84 miles per hour just seconds before the crash. He had a blood alcohol concentration of 0.113. For that, he was charged with DWI.
The result of that is exactly what we wanted. So I will in no way fault the time that it has taken to get to this result.
But Ariel's mother feels differently, realizing what DWI means as far as punishment. It's a Class D felony, meaning punishment is 1 to 7 years. She posted this on Facebook. This right here is not even enough time. 1 to 7. He can still walk, talk, and eat with a spoon and fork. Ariel's story has touched thousands of hearts across the nation. Her family started a GoFundMe. It's the largest in Kansas City's history, raising more than $500,000. Today, some people chipped in. Some people expressed frustration that Ariel's world is clearly shattered, and Britt Reed faces years, not decades, in prison. Britt Reed heads to court May 27th.
That was Angie Rincono, KCTV 5, sharing the latest with us here on KCMO Talk Radio. That aired in their 10 o'clock news last night. Now, I feel, and how can you not feel, of course, for the family first and foremost, and the fact that they're out there and they've got a child that may never again function properly, And Britt Reed is probably going to spend maybe a year, maybe two, in prison. Going to pay the money that needs to be paid. The Chiefs going to pay the money that needs to be paid if they have to get involved in this whole thing. And they're going to wipe their hands clean. And that's going to be it. Now, what else we learned here, and I find this very interesting. The crash, of course, occurred right around Truman Sports Complex, but prosecutors said they had no direct evidence Reed was drinking at Arrowhead Stadium. But Britt Reed did admit to police that he had left work just before the crash. He said he was looking over his left shoulder to evaluate traffic so he could merge at the time of the crash. He's going 84 miles an hour in a 65 when he's not even on the main part of the highway yet. That, to me, is unbelievable. I mean, we've all been caught, I'm sure. Not caught, but we've all noticed ourselves maybe going a little too fast on 435, right? It's easy to do. But this guy's merging on the 435, just getting on, and he's already up to 84 miles an hour with a blood alcohol level of almost 50% above the legal limit. You've got a five-year-old that may never again function like a normal human being, and this guy might spend a couple of years in prison. Because you know how this works. 1 to 7 years, you got the right attorney, you got the right dough. When's it ever as close to the high end as it is to the low end? Rarely, if ever. Rarely, if ever. You know that, and I know that. So this whole thing, I'm not an attorney, obviously. Once in a while, we can play one on the radio. But I'm just telling you, as a person watching this like you are from the sidelines and following this story. And by the way, it took us over 2 months to get a blood alcohol level on Britt Reed. Over 2 months. This thing just stinks to high heaven. It stinks to high heaven. It's bothersome in so many ways. And you do appreciate the fact that a GoFundMe page was set up and has raised $546,000 for five-year-old Ariel. But you also say, what was her life really worth? And will she ever be able to be in a position where she can live a normal life again? Because I'll tell you what, if she's going to be in a feeding tube for, God forbid, the majority of her life, $500,000 is chump change. It is absolutely chump change. And then you wonder what role the Chiefs are going to have to play in all this. I mean, that's the thing, too. I mean, they got rid of Britt Reed. I know his contract was not renewed, but that happened really quick, really quick. And I just hope that whatever role the Chiefs can play in all this, they do their part. That's what I really hope. If it truly is about Kansas City, if it truly is about community, I hope they don't skimp on a single thing that Ariel needs ever again in her life. 5767710. We are on the text line, which is 816-576-7710. Of course, we'll have more on this story as it continues to unfold involving Britt Reed. And once again, he'll be back in court on May 27th. So it's far from over. In fact, in many ways, it is just getting started, as are we. And coming up next, Josh Hawley, our Missouri U.S. Senator, made an appearance last night on cable news talking about a bill to push back against woke corporate America. We'll get to it coming up next. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of the false narrative. It doesn't mean I won't talk about this. It doesn't mean I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it right now. But I'm sick of the false narrative. I'm sick of the media, including Fox News, all of them, using situations like the death of Dante Wright, the 20-year-old who was shot and killed by a female cop up there in Minnesota on Sunday in a traffic stop. I'm sick of that being used as like their backdrop for ratings and their backdrop for their, reality TV show of the day. That's what they're all doing. I mean, you know, this is not exclusive. Now, CNN and some of the others are obviously much worse with it. I mean, they've got reporters out there on the streets like they're covering, you know, a Super Bowl parade or something like that. But even Fox News, I mean, you go to their website right now and the top six links on the homepage, more than that, top 10 links on the homepage maybe, are all tied to what happened here with Dante Wright. Because here's what comes out of this. And this is what even some of the people at Fox News, I don't think, realize. What comes out of this is now we get a one-size-fits-all approach on what happened to Dante Wright is somehow the fault of the Kansas City Police Department, is somehow the fault of the Dallas Police Department, and pick any city in America. You've got 750,000 cops in this country. One person makes what appears to be a horrible mistake, and that is now an indictment on an entire system. That is now an indictment on every law enforcement officer in America. And it's absolutely gross. And everybody is feeding into it in the name of clicks, in the name of ratings, and in the names of drama, frankly. So what we know right now, if you haven't been following this story, is that on Sunday, Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, Dante Wright was shot and killed by a 26-year veteran of the police force, Kimberly Potter. She joined the force at 22 years old back in 1995, according to state records. She's been on the Brooklyn Center Police Department's negotiating team. She's been heavily involved with everything in the department. She's married, has two adult sons, lives with her husband, who's also a former cop in the Minneapolis area. And what apparently happened there is she thought she was taking out her taser and instead took out her gun. That is what is believed to have been the case right now, and that resulted in the death of this 20-year-old Dante Wright, who did have, yes, warrants out for his arrest. But either way, I mean, it's what appears to be at this point in time, based on the information that we have, based on some of the footage that we've seen, an incredible tragedy. Now, at the same time, does that mean that you make Dante Wright out to be a martyr in this situation based on what you know about his background? I don't think so. I mean, you know, when you look at some of the social media posts that he had out there, I mean, they were pretty disgusting. Misogynistic is just scratching the surface if you want to see some of that. Does that mean that he deserved to end up being killed in this traffic stop? No. But at the same time, turning some people into martyrs doesn't seem to be the best way to go about it. But when you talk about the media here and all this, last night there was this moment on CNN. And on CNN, a guy was just on the streets as the reporter there for CNN is covering more chaos that resulted in 40 people getting arrested last night up there in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. And we don't know who this guy is. He didn't give his name. We may never find out who he is. But to his credit, he told CNN to take a hike with all this nonsense.
Look there. Now you can see. Now you can see.
Y'all be twisting up the story.
You want to talk to me? Do you want to talk to me? Okay, cool. Now, don't take my mic, but we're cool. Okay. What's your name?
What's my name? My name is my name.
All right. So tell me what you think about what's going on here.
What I think about this is all the press and all the extra I do makes this worse.
You think so?
Yes. When people want to protest, they shouldn't do it in front of a police, courthouse. You get what I'm saying?
I want you to be careful. I want you to be careful. I really
of what?
Do. Of anything that can
of
hit
what?
You. Of anything that can hit you. Look at of all the stuff.
What?
Of this.
Of what?
I don't know what she's saying there. I want you to be careful. I want you to be. You're standing in the same place he's standing. You're standing right next to each other. What does that mean? Now, I had to cut out a bunch of F-bombs and everything else from that clip. But that guy was fired up, and he's absolutely right. You guys being here and using this as your backdrop to get ratings and get clicks on your website does not help anything. It doesn't help law enforcement and its relationship with the community. It doesn't help the facts get out there. It doesn't help anybody or anything. But here's what helps. It helps them. It helps cable news. It helps websites drive traffic. That's what it does. That's who it helps. And that's what they're in the business of. And that's why it doesn't matter how inaccurate the narrative is. It doesn't matter how many lies they have to tell. None of that matters. Because they're getting what they need out of this situation. They're getting it. If you've been listening to this show for any period of time, you may know this chart that I'm about to share with you right now. But I'm going to do it because I think it's important to reshare. Because what's happening now is the entire debate is getting reframed, right? As a black man who is unarmed gets shot and killed. And this is a massive problem in America. And anybody who gets unfairly shot and killed by the cops, that's a tragedy, right? And we've gone through these numbers with you many times, but I just want to do it again because there's always new listeners. And even if you've heard this before, I just want to remind you that in the year 2020, there were 55 unarmed people shot and killed by cops in this country. 55. And by the way, not every person who is unarmed that is shot by cops is necessarily an unjustified shooting. But just for sake of the conversation, 55 unarmed Americans shot and killed by cops in 2020. 24 were white, 18 were black, 8 were Hispanic. 24 white, 18 black, 8 were Hispanic. And then there was this poll done here by Skeptic Magazine, and it's fascinating to me. Fascinating. This was done almost 2 months ago now, and we shared it with you back in February. And the question was this. How many unarmed black men were killed by police in 2019? And it broke the number down by political orientation. It polled people who consider themselves very liberal, moderate, conservative, very conservative. And your choices on this question were 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000, or more than 10,000 unarmed black men killed by police in 2019. Now, the official number for 2019, just so you have it before I share with you what people said, the official number was 12. 26 white people in 2019 unarmed, shot and killed by cops, blacks 12, Hispanics 11. This is from the Washington Post database that gathered all this information going back to 2015. So you have the official number, right? It's 12. Well, people who were very liberal, over 50% of them thought that number was at least 1,000 unarmed black men shot and killed by police in 2019. The number is actually 12. But over 50% of people who qualify themselves as very liberal thought that number was at least 1,000. Those who were liberal, they guessed about 60-some-odd percent of them guessed it was between 100 and 1,000. Those, interestingly enough, who called themselves conservative were the most accurate. Those who called themselves conservative, 46% of them guessed that the number was right around 10 unarmed black men shot and killed by police in 2019. It's almost like it depends which media you take in, what kind of information and what kind of facts you actually get. Isn't that fascinating how that works? I'm not bringing this up to say that what happened here with Dante Wright isn't tragic. It is. If a cop accidentally pulls out her gun instead of her taser, I mean, that is a tragedy. How do we prevent that from happening? Nobody's defending that taking place. But the idea that this is the latest in a long list of systemic racism by cops is just wanting to fit a narrative that factually isn't backed up. 5767710. We're on the text line at 816-576-7710. And I don't know about you, but the way the media covers this across the political spectrum is just, it's tiresome, and it's so transparent what's going on here. We are waking up to a beautiful Tuesday morning across Kansas City. Thanks for joining us and being a part of the show. A lot happening. Coming up here in a couple of minutes, I'll tell you why corporations are making a massive, massive mistake getting into the political game. That is coming up on KCMO Talk Radio. But, you know, what's happening right now in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, is obviously getting an enormous amount of attention. There were some minor protests down here on the plaza yesterday in the wake of the killing of Dante Wright by a female cop up there in Minnesota who accidentally took out her gun instead of her taser. This is interesting on the text line from someone in law enforcement. Pete, at our police agency, it is a policy that we wear our taser on the opposite side of our firearm for the exact reason of the possibility of grabbing the wrong tool when needed. Now, that makes sense to me, right? The taser's always on the left or always on the right and vice versa. That makes sense to me. But in the heat of the moment, human beings are human beings and make massive mistakes, and this appears to be one of those. Is it the sign of something systemic taking place? No, it's really not. It does not appear to be. But don't let that get in the way of a good narrative. Paul's in Kansas City. Go ahead, Paul. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Pete. Yeah, my adversaries are forcing me to contrast comparison. So I just want to put over the weekend, we had a state trooper killed. We had an officer wounded in Knoxville, Tennessee. Another officer in New York over the weekend stabbed. We lost 100 brave police officers last year. I don't want to do a contrast comparison, but they're forcing me to do that. And I don't hear a word about the Capitol police officer that was killed 2 weeks ago at Fort Detrick, Maryland. Any life lost is tragic, but this narrative is burning down of buildings, this violence against law enforcement and federal, state, local law enforcement is just ridiculous. But I just don't hear anything about that New York State Trooper, my God, the brave man and his family, the Capitol Police. I don't hear any narratives. I don't see anybody out protesting for him. And I don't want anybody to, but I just get, they're forcing me to do a contrast comparison. I don't want to do that, but facts are facts. So I just wanted to throw that out there, and God bless those brave police officers out there. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much. You know, it's interesting with this being the backdrop of what was supposed to happen this weekend, when Kansas City Police Chief Rick Smith was supposed to be at the Jackson County GOP Lincoln Days dinner to receive an award on helping keep the city safe last summer during some of the protests that took place. Of course, the mayor tweeted out he didn't think that should happen. The police chief backed off of that news, and he will not be there. Instead, Councilwoman Heather Hall out of the Northland will be there to accept the award on behalf of Chief Smith and the Kansas City Police Department. And by the way, that event is now sold out from what I heard, with pushing 300 people. But to have that as a backdrop, by the way, just a chance to honor law enforcement apparently is like a political thing that we can't do anymore. But then on the flip side, we can have this narrative and this story up in Minnesota and use it as an example of law enforcement targeting and killing somebody simply because of their skin color. And that's just, that's not based in any facts. It's not. Ron in Gladstone, go ahead, Ron.
Hey, good morning. Just wanted to comment on your, where you said the right side or left side in the taser and humans being humans.
Yeah.
I was in the military, and I tell you, they train that out of you. I was at home. We had just come back from a red run, and we're at sea for 5.5 months. I'm sleeping in my bed, and I hear an ambulance going down the street, and it sounds just like a radiation leak alarm. And I'm halfway down the hallway getting my clothes on before I realize what I was even doing. So they train you so much that your muscle memory, right side, left side, could be critical. And you don't even think. It just happens.
So how do you, Ron, I'm curious based on your experience, how does something like this happen where somebody grabs a gun instead of a taser? Is it just that one in a million accident, or is it something else?
Well, I think that they're both on the same side is a very much different mental delineation in terms of your muscle memory. Grabbing something that is literally, you know, maybe an inch away from one another, mm-hmm. Left side, right side is completely different in your mind. And again, you're trained at such high level, you don't even think. It just happens. It's automatic. That's why you train so often.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying it's not a valid excuse?
It would be questionable in my mind. I don't know the difference. I don't know how it feels in your hand, the difference between a taser and a pistol.
Yeah.
I know my wife is in law enforcement. She carries a weapon, and she carries pepper spray. She doesn't carry a taser.
Yeah.
But I got to imagine they feel a little different, a little bit different weight, a little different pistol grip.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
okay.
To me, that'd be questionable.
Interesting. All right there, Ron. Thank you for the insight on that. As someone who's actually done it and is married into it, appreciate the call there. I mean, we'll have much more on this throughout the morning here on KCMO Talk Radio because it is an unfolding story. You had 40 more arrests up there in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota last night with the protests and riots that took place. And we'll be following that, of course, here on KCMO Talk Radio. The big news over the weekend that we told you about yesterday morning, we started off the show with this yesterday because it was so concerning to me that 100 CEOs got on a Zoom call and said, hey, how do we make sure that we fight legislation at the state level we don't like? The main thing was obviously Republican-leaning legislation. That was the big deal, right? That was the issue. It wasn't necessarily fighting liberal-leaning legislation and conservative-leaning legislation. It was only fighting one side of the aisle's legislation. And this came on the heels, of course, of what happened in Georgia with the election bill passing and then the Major League Baseball All-Star Game moving out and Delta and Coke speaking out against it and everybody getting bullied into saying something against it without really any information at all. But that's what they did. That's what they do. And I thought Ben Shapiro put it very well yesterday here on KCMO Talk Radio. He's on from 3 to 5. And he pointed out something we said yesterday as well, which is that they're getting into a space that they don't need to get into. And it's going to have to backfire on them, right? It's going to have to backfire on them at the state level with these state legislatures who are going to say, okay, if you want us to treat you as a political activist, we can do that. Like, we can very much do that.
Corporations have decided that they are going to, their silence is deafening. They must speak out on everything the left demands of them. Okay, guys, well, if that's the way you want it, that's the way you're going to have it. If you are going to engage in the ultra crepidarianism, speaking outside your purview, in which you are not commenting anymore about corporate tax rates or the restrictions on sugar imports from Cuba, but instead, as Coca-Cola, but instead you're now going to comment on bathroom bills in North Carolina, then you are explicitly political actors and you will be treated as such. And the consuming public will do so. And Republican legislators will do so. And that is not reactionary on the part of Republicans. That is not them starting the fight. That is them simply saying, if you guys have chosen to engage in this field, you will be treated as somebody engaging in this field. You will be treated as an adjunct to the Democratic Party, which is what you are.
That was Ben Shapiro yesterday right here on KCMO Talk Radio. He's on from 3 to 5, of course. And that's exactly right. It's exactly right. If you are going to pick a side politically, then you can't expect some of, by the way, overwhelmingly red states who have treated you well as a business and who have allowed you to escape your heavy-handed blue states like New York and California and New Jersey and Illinois and others, and then be like, yeah, we're going to speak out against you guys because we've been intimidated to do so, but we'd love it if you could keep those tax breaks in place for us in places like Georgia and Florida and North Carolina and Texas and even, you know, in some cases, Kansas and Missouri. We'd love it if you could do that for us. That'd be awesome. That'd be great. We'd really appreciate that. It's funny how that works, though. They want to be your best friend when it's convenient for them, but then when they get bullied by an internet mob, which is all this is not the majority of Americans. It's just an internet mob. They feel like they got to bend over backwards for them, and then they've got to, in turn, start speaking out against your legislation at the state level. Hey, if you don't like it, you can go back to New York. You can go back to California. Have fun paying those tax rates. Let us know how that goes. But that's the first thing that states should be doing and can start doing. And this leads into my next piece here, which is that Kansas and Missouri, who obviously are looking at election law bills, and obviously are also looking at, in some cases, you know, and I don't even want to call it that, but bills that would not allow transgender girls to compete against girls. They're also looking at bills like that. And we know that those are bills that corporations are speaking out against. Are the leaders in Jeff City, are the leaders in Topeka going to be bullied into silence on these issues? Well, the Kansas City Star sure hopes so. They are really hoping so, and they're going to help, by the way, with the bullying. They're going to help. I've got that story for you and the details around it coming up next on KCMO Talk Radio. So what do you think? Do you want your state legislators in Topeka and Jeff City to kowtow to the NCAA? Do you want them to do that? The Kansas City Star is hoping that's the case, by the way. They are, oh boy, they're hoping like all get out that the NCAA will be able to force state legislatures right here in Kansas, Missouri, to allow transgender girls to compete against girls. You know, I'm not wild about the idea. In fact, I hate the idea of my daughter in 10 years being forced to compete against a boy who feels like a chick. Like, I think that's a horrible idea. I don't know what I would tell her. What do I tell her when she loses a track race to a boy who feels like a girl? Ah, sorry, honey, try harder. Well, you biologically can't, on average, try harder and be faster than a boy. You just can't. You can't be stronger than a boy on average. Doesn't mean there are not girls who are not stronger than boys. There are. But on average, you can't be. It's physiologically impossible. So I don't know what I would say. But the Star wrote this big piece about how the NCAA signaled yesterday that it won't hold championships or championship events in states with laws that ban transgender athletes. Now, both Kansas and Missouri have bills like that that are pending. What's interesting here, I love how the Star phrases this, by the way. They write here, Kansas Governor Laura Kelly, a Democrat and proponent of LGBTQ rights, will likely veto legislation passed last week by the State House and Senate. Now, that is such a tricky, tricky way to phrase that. Laura Kelly, governor of Kansas, a proponent of LGBTQ rights. Now, I consider myself a proponent of those rights. You do you. You do what you want to do. If you're an adult, you do to your body what you want to do. Like, that's the libertarian side of me speaking. I'm not going to stop you. But what I would call this is actually being pro-female athlete, which is what I am. I am pro-female athlete empowerment. How's that sound? You know, since we have these kind of buzz phrases and buzzwords, what do you think of that, John? Can I be the pro-female athlete empowerment guy? Does that work?
Absolutely.
I think so, too.
I think that's true. Mostly true is, you know, whether it's mostly whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Fact checks.
Yeah, where, you know, what is this? Partly true is means mostly true or something like that. You know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we need the opposite. We need to put the mirror up to the words.
We can spin this as well.
Correct.
They call Laura Kelly the pro-LGBTQ rights governor. I would call her the anti-female athlete governor.
There you go.
That's what I would say.
How it works.
This is how the game works, right?
Exactly, how it works.
You can flip it around. She's the anti-female athlete empowerment governor. And I'm the pro-female athlete empowerment person. All right? Let's just flip these little buzzwords that people like to use. They say that she'll likely veto legislation passed last week by the State House and Senate. But the stance by the NCAA, which governs college sports, raises the stakes in any future attempt by Republican-controlled legislatures to override Laura Kelly's veto. Well, let's first understand what the NCAA is doing here. The NCAA knows that its monopoly is coming to an end. The NCAA is a sham, and it's been a sham for 25 years. The NCAA without the NCAA tournament is useless. The NCAA knows that their days are numbered. All right? So they are trying to appeal to the woke to keep as little power as they can for the longest period of time. That's all this is. The NCAA knows that it's screwed. All right? It's running a racket. It's been running a racket for decades, and that racket is going to end pretty soon. But they're trying to hang on to power for as long as they can. So they hope that by appealing to the woke, you won't notice the fact that they actually, in many ways, are not doing right by the thousands of student-athletes that play under the NCAA guidelines. That's what this is in many ways about. They're trying to put off pressure because they get enough pressure as is. But okay, have fun with that. You want to only hold events NCAA in California and New York? Be our guest. That'll be a lot of fun. By the way, your cost of doing business is going to go up. What do you think it'll cost trying to run every tournament at a Madison Square Garden instead of the Sprint Center? Or out of the Staples Center in LA compared to the Sprint Center? Or T-Mobile Center, excuse me. How do you think that's going to work? All right? But this actually brought up a conversation we had yesterday on the show. Ty Masterson, he is the Senate president. on the Kansas side of the state line. I asked him specifically about this bill that did pass the Senate in Topeka late last week that would ban transgender girls from competing against girls, and where that bill stands and the likelihood that they could possibly override Governor Kelly's veto.
The issue's never the issue, right? The drama around that thing was just incredible. It should just be non-controversial, right? Just in basic physiology. I mean, it's not even about gender, right, or sexuality, orientation. It's just about basic physiological fairness. That's why we divide people up in ages and weight classes and all kinds of other reasons to create competitive fairness. But, man, with the culture war, when you can't win the argument, though, that's when you go to the, incendiary, persecution and bigotry and all that, and attack people. So that's what our margins, it's kind of a long way to answer. We had 26 votes in the Senate for it. It takes 27 to override it. I have two on the sidelines that are a little afraid of the culture war. So I think the answer on the Senate side is yes, we can override it. I mean, there's no question she's going to veto it. I mean, that her party has gone so far that direction. They wouldn't stand for it if she didn't, I don't think.
That was Ty Masterson, Kansas Senate President, yesterday on this show talking about this very issue. So he doesn't know if they can override the veto. They're going to try. They may be able to squeeze out the votes. But I would say this to all of our state reps there in Topeka and down in Jeff City. Don't cower to the NCAA or the Kansas City Star. That's what they want you to do. That is exactly what they want you to do. In the name of justice or equality or equity or whatever the buzzword is of the day. And it's all a bunch of nonsense, all right? It's equal? It's equal to not force my daughter or your daughter to have to compete against a boy because he feels funny that day, all right? That ain't equal. But that's the beauty of this moment. You can define something that means in many ways the exact opposite, but because you are in the right circles, well, you're right. You're accurate. And if someone pushes back on you and says, hey, that's kind of nonsense that you're speaking here, and it doesn't really make any sense for you to say it's equal to allow boys to compete against girls in sports, like that, just use your head. All right, use your head for 5 seconds. It makes no sense. It makes zero sense. But you can't say it. And now these state legislatures are supposed to bend over backwards to the NCAA and to the Kansas City Star in the name of equity, which is the complete opposite of what it really is. 5767710. Our text line is 816-576-7710. We're off and running with you on a Tuesday morning here on KCMO Talk Radio. By the way, your chance right now at a Missouri Lottery Cash for Life card and $1,000. Text the keyword AWESOME to 68255. That's AWESOME to 68255. News in 2 minutes. We're back in 5 with you on KCMO. So what's interesting, too, is just to share with you some of the upcoming NCAA events that are going to be taking place here in our neck of the woods. The Kansas City Star is trying to also bully state legislatures in Topeka and Jeff City to, allow boys to compete against girls, because if not, the NCAA is going to pull out some of its events from the area. In Kansas, Wichita is set to host the first and second rounds of the 2025 Division I Men's Basketball Championship and 2024 Division II Wrestling Championships. Wichita is also going to host regional rounds of the Women's Basketball Tournament in 2022. I mean, 2025, really going to worry about that? I don't know if, the NCAA is going to exist as an entity by 2025. I just have a hard time seeing that happening. By the way, let's welcome in day two of our guy Mark, who's running the show here behind the board. John, give me a review on Mark for day one.
Yeah, let's see, what's the phrase? It took to it like a duck to water.
Oh, okay.
I'll take that.
You take that. All right, that sounds like a pretty high mark for Mark. No pun intended. Running the board. How about that, Mark? We were talking about this just during the break. You brought up a good point here in terms of, what the NCAA has done in our area, and it's been mostly female events, women events.
Yeah, soccer, I know they've done out at Sporting. They've done some basketball also, and volleyball. So I don't know. I don't know their thoughts on, honestly, I haven't looked into it enough to know for sure, but I don't know their thoughts on transgender athletes in NCAA competition.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've seen it at that high of a level, honestly. I know they've done it at NAIA.
Yeah.
But I don't know about NCAA.
Well, we might find out right here in our neck of the woods. I mean, my goodness. That's what I'd like to see, right? It's one thing for the NCAA to come out and say, yeah, you know, we support transgender rights, which is really anti-female rights in youth sports, and we are against these state legislatures coming out and saying, hey, we don't think boys should compete against girls. But it's another thing to say, yeah, we want that in our sports. We want that at our level. I'd like to put their feet to the fire on that a little bit. Representative Brett Parker, Overland Park Democrat, he said on Twitter after the NCAA released its statement yesterday, the bigotry of the Kansas legislature comes at a tremendous cost to some of our most vulnerable students and our economy. Anything that you disagree with them on is now defined as you being a racist or a bigot. I mean, it's an amazing game that can be played. If you disagree with them, you're a bigot. And it makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. All I'm saying here is, hey, I don't want dudes competing against chicks. I don't want them competing against my daughter in sports. Pretty simple. Pretty uncontroversial. Really not trying to be controversial. Like, I'm not trying to be it at all. But if you're a Democrat, you can just scream that that is somehow bigoted in nature and you get away with it. And it's taken as fact. When it's anything but that. It's anything but based in fact. It's anything but based in science. But it doesn't matter. That's the beauty of it. It doesn't matter. Boy, what a time. What a time. Speaking of sports, we had some news yesterday. Britt Reed. And this is amazing to me. Someone hit me up on Twitter about this, saying that the sports talk radio stations in town aren't touching this Britt Reed story. And I do wonder why. If you missed it yesterday, we found out that Britt Reed had been charged with DWI, serious physical injury, a Class D felony, potential jail sentence, 1 to 7 years. Prosecutors have requested a $100,000 bond. So I got some tweets on this, and someone in particular that stood out to me. Apparently, every sports talk person in Kansas City is scared to death of crossing the Chiefs and talking about this. That's amazing to me, if that's true. I mean, if you're doing a sports talk show in this town, how is this not the only thing you're talking about? Maybe you want to talk about the Royals game a little bit last night. I don't know. Maybe you want to do that as well. But it wasn't exactly a great game, losing 10-3. So maybe there's not much to talk about there. But how is this not, if you do a sports talk radio show in this city, how is this not the number one thing you're talking about? Instead, I guess they're talking about Patrick Mahomes playing pickleball, or what is that story? Can somebody tell me what the heck that's all about? Do you guys, John, do you know?
MMA fighter challenged Mahomes and Kelsey to, he's a local fighter.
Okay.
So he was suggesting that the true champions in Kansas City should battle it out, if you will.
In a game of pickleball.
Pickleball, that's not his sport. It's nobody's sport, obviously.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's a hot sport, what I'm saying, but then the people involved are pickleball players. So this guy's an MMA fighter, right, Mark?
Yeah. He's from Kansas City. He called out the other champions of Kansas City to a pickleball match.
Wow, that sounds like great talk radio.
That's not a top of the hour topic, but I guess that's how they go home.
I don't think it's an any of the hour topic, as far as I'm concerned. Let's not talk about the story of the day, which is Britt Reed spending potentially 7 years in prison, and let's talk about who would win a hypothetical pickleball match between an MMA fighter nobody knows, at least I don't know him, and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Wow, that's great stuff. Let's take your calls at 5767710 and hit us up on the text line. Who wins the pickleball match? What's wrong, John?
I'm afraid I'm going to get those calls. Pete is using his air quotes, I should.
Yeah. No. Please,
air sentence,
please
air
don't
paragraph.
Call in. Please don't call in on who's going to win the dopey pickleball match between Mahomes and an MMA fighter, all right? We don't need that right now.
Got a wicked serve, man. A wicked serve.
I'll volunteer to do the play-by-play.
Be my guest, because I'm going to be far away from that one. I mean, how are you not talking about this? You got a 5-year-old girl in this town who is a vegetable right now, who is still using a feeding tube, who may never be a functioning human being again. You've got the son of the legendary head coach here, who obviously is no longer on the staff, but who was on the staff at the time, days before the Super Bowl. When he's getting on a ramp, he's going 84 miles an hour. Now, he's not even on the interstate, by the way. He's not on 435. He's merging onto the interstate. He's already going 84 miles an hour with a blood alcohol level of 0.11 over, you know, 0.03 above the legal limit. He rams into the back of these two cars. A five-year-old spends time on life support. She's still using a feeding tube. And yesterday, it comes out that he was charged with DWI serious physical injury and a $100,000 bond. And everyone's just like, just twiddle our thumbs and talk about Mahomes playing pickleball against an MMA fighter. That sounds great. I mean, what a joke. What a joke those guys are. And I don't know them personally, but that is horrible. Absolutely horrible job by them. Horrible job. How do you not talk about this? And while I know that yesterday, the attorney for five-year-old Ariel's family, he came out and he said, hey, this is kind of what we were looking for. Something about it doesn't feel right. Something about this whole deal in terms of Britt Reid, who, let's be honest, you know, $100,000 bond. I mean, Andy Reid makes that coaching literally half a quarter. Half a quarter of football, Andy Reid makes $100,000. And the kid's been on the staff for way too long, so he's got some money in the bank. And you know that with his attorneys, he'll spend the minimum amount of time in prison. And he has altered the life of a five-year-old potentially forever, if not for the obvious foreseeable future. And I'm not saying that anyone's doing anything wrong on the prosecution side of this. I'm not. But it just doesn't sit right. It doesn't feel right that a five-year-old and that family has had its lives completely changed forever. And you've got the former assistant coach, a former assistant coach in the Chiefs, son of the head coach, who arguably should not have had a job to begin with, and who only had a job because of who his father was, you know, getting minimal slap on the wrist, all things considered. And then he'll just go on with his life. It churns your stomach. It really does. We're at 5767710. Our text line is 816-576-7710. It's also interesting how the crash occurred right, of course, near Truman Sports Complex, but prosecutors said they had no direct evidence Reid was drinking at Arrowhead, even though he admitted to the police that he had left work just before the crash and he blew a .11. It's just not adding up right now. And it's heartbreaking. And the fact that sports radio in this town is afraid to talk about it is a joke. I mean, what a joke. What a loss of credibility there, huh? All right, we'll get to you. Also, we have Charlie Gasparino, Fox Business Network. He's coming up top of the hour. He's got some great insight on how these corporations are dealing with their wokeness. Charlie Gasparino in 15. I got a story from the neighborhood I'm dying to share with you as well in your calls on KCMO. Oh, man, this is great. Oh, the text line, which is 816-576-7710. Trying to figure out why sports radio in town isn't talking about Britt Reid getting charged with DWI yesterday. Technically, it's DWI, serious physical injury, Class D felony, spend up to 7 years in prison. On the text line, Pete, the reason they didn't cover the story about Britt Reid is because they're too busy giving themselves cool nicknames and trying to be wannabe Dan Patricks or Jim Rome's. That's pretty good. We got to think of some cool nicknames here, John. We don't have any nicknames. You're John, I'm Pete, he's Mark, and that's kind of it. I mean, how do we get listeners without cool nicknames in radio these days?
Yeah, I had a country nickname if I was going to be a country DJ. It'd be Johnny Jeff Anthony, but I haven't had to use that one yet.
Oh, brother.
All I have is the Overseer.
Oh, the Overseer.
That's all I've got.
You bring that from your other radio station. Someone asked, Mark, by the way, as people get to know you a little bit here on the show, and no one's going to judge you either way, but here's the question on the text line. Is Mark a lib or a conservative? You can split the baby, Mark, and it's okay. What do you got for us?
I'm a little more left-leaning.
Okay. We can only find left-leaning board ops around this town, John.
It's all right, though. I'm one of those left-leaning that I enjoy the conversation.
Okay. All right. So. Well, you know what? It's good for our image as well. This notion that we'll only hire you if you agree with everything I say every day, 4 hours a day. No, that's not the case. See, we have an open mind here, John. We get called bigots and whatnot, but you know what? Mark does a great job. He's doing a great job. Day two in the job, and that's all we really care about.
There you go.
He's got something to say, and, you know, he does a good job. So that's what we're looking for here. And we're not against people, just like we weren't with Matt before him. You know, Matt was all in Andrew Yang's universal basic income. He was all about that.
Signing him up.
And he did a very nice job. We're at 576-7710. The text line is 816-576-7710. We got Charlie Gasparino coming up here in 15 minutes from the Fox Business Network. Michael Mahoney is going to join us at 9:05. And don't forget, your chance of $1,000 as part of our $25,000 workday payday is coming up here, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. every hour on the hour for the next month or so. So the first text to win keyword will come up right after the conversation with Charlie Gasparino. You'll win a $100 MasterCard gift card and get entered to win our $25,000 grand prize. Before we get to Charlie, I've been wanting to share this story with you here. It's just a personal story, but I got to share it with you because I feel like many of you can relate to this. So, you know, we have these now e-neighbors groups for your neighborhood or Facebook groups for your neighborhood. I don't know if you guys have those, but we have those, an e-neighbors group and a Facebook group. And, you know, people are getting kind of weird, right? Some people have been hiding in their basements now for a year, so they're getting kind of weird. And all their interactions are online. And people have always been weird, John, but they're getting weirder, right?
Right.
They're getting really weird.
That's the thing about Kansas City. It's big enough to have weirdos, but small enough where you know them all.
Oh, that's a great line. That is a great line. So anyway, this lady goes on the Facebook group here for our neighborhood, and she freaked out. She freaked out because somebody left a little packet on her fence that said, hey, I am running a business where I will clean up all the dog poop in your yard. All the dog poop around your house. If you got any, I will clean it up. I'll scoop it up. Here's my contact information. And here's just a little business card in a little plastic bag. Couldn't be more harmless. Couldn't be more harmless. I mean, listen, people have fallen on tough times. They've lost their jobs the past year. They're trying to make some money and be entrepreneurial. I respect that. I'd take that over you banging down my door and me being like, no, I don't want to buy your thing right now. Like, I'm amazed how much soliciting still goes on around here, to be honest.
Hey, did your neighbor Bill tell you about the great deal I saved? No, yeah. No, you didn't talk. I don't have a neighbor Bill. Beat it.
Yeah, no, I'm still amazed at the amount of soliciting. But anyway, I would much rather have somebody drop a little thing on my door or on my fence and say, hey, I'm running this business. In this case, I'm cleaning up dog poop and, you know, if you need me, here's my number. Here's my contact information. All right, cool. I probably don't, but, you know, thanks for dropping it off. And I appreciate you doing that instead of, you know, ringing my doorbell and trying to talk my ear off for 5-10 minutes. Couldn't be more harmless. This lady puts this person on blast because she dropped garbage in her yard. And how dare she judge my yard because I have dogs and think that I want her services. This is an invasion of property. Literally, an insane woman in the neighborhood. Insane. Absolutely insane. And she posts the picture of the person's little business card, so it puts that person out there on blast. She didn't even cover up her name. And I'm like, what a jerk. What an absolute jerk. So she starts getting called out on the Facebook page in the neighborhood, and people are like, you're basically nuts. You're a complete wacko. Get a life. Someone put their business card there. They're trying to start a business. They're in the neighborhood. Don't be a complete moron. All right? That's what people are saying. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
I respect them for that.
Good to hear.
Good. But this lady will not back down. She won't back down. And she's trying to defend herself. She's saying it's littering. It's like, no, you pick it up. If you don't want the services, you put it in the garbage. Hot shot. All right? That's all you do. That's the extent of what you got to do. That's it. And then the amazing part is this. I start clicking through her. I'm like, who is this lady? I don't know where she was, lives in the neighborhood. I don't know what her deal is. But I say, I got to learn a little bit more about this lady. So I click on her Facebook profile, flip through a couple of photos. Oh, boy, just too good to be true. Too good to be true. Filters on her Facebook page. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, 2020. Woo! All right, BLM in the background. All right, woo!
here we go. I mean, she is the lib of all libs in the neighborhood, apparently. And she was so offended that somebody actually tried to promote their startup entrepreneurial venture in the neighborhood that she felt the need to call them out in the e-neighbors group. What a loser. I mean, there's no other way to put it. What a loser. If you don't want the services, throw it out and say, ah, well, I don't need you. People have lost their minds the past year. They have completely lost their minds. Unbelievable. Somebody who hasn't lost their minds. Should I squeeze them in real quick? JT, go ahead, buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, Pete, I just wanted to throw out that this individual who put the entrepreneur on blast, she just did that person the biggest favor, no advertising fees.
Yep, that is true. That's a great point. I think some people will hire her because of how this thing went down. Well said.
Absolutely.
There, JT.
That's how you go viral, man. Have a good day.
Thanks, buddy. Charlie Gasparino, Fox Business, next. Well, it's always good to talk to Charlie Gasparino, Fox Business. We'll talk with Michael Mahoney, our buddy at Channel 9 KMBC, coming up top of this hour here on KCMO Talk Radio. Hope your Tuesday morning is off and running here. So I wanted to ask you something. If you are somebody who's got student loans, you know, you went to college and maybe you accidentally ended up with too many student loans. You regret the student loans you ended up with. Maybe you're saying to yourself, geez, you know, I wish I didn't have these student loans, but I do. Well, did you know that if you're somebody who already paid off your student loans, or you paid off the bulk of your student loans, or maybe you're somebody who went to JUCO because you didn't want to put yourself in a student loan debt. And, you know, you lived at home for a couple of years and you did the right thing and you worked hard and you didn't go to that four-year college to party because you realized that it was a bad financial decision. If you did that, and if you did the responsible thing, and you've been doing the responsible thing, and you don't believe that the government should just bail people out for, you know, student loan debt, well, did you know that you are a racist? Yeah, did you know that? Oh, you don't believe me? I kid you not, all right? I'm just bringing you guys the news here. I'm not making this stuff up. Ayanna Presley, she's a House member out of Massachusetts. She delivered an ultimatum on the issue of college loans yesterday. She wrote on Twitter, linking to a Washington Post article on people struggling to pay their student loans, "You can't be anti-racist if you're anti-student debt cancellation." Follow that again. You can't be anti-racist if you aren't anti-student debt cancellation. If you do not believe in canceling $1.5 trillion in college debt that Americans have, you can't be anti-racist, which means that you are racist. Because if you're not anti-racist, then guess what? You are then on the other side as a racist and a bigot. I'm taking you through this slowly, because I want to make sure that you're following me along here, John, you know?
Yeah, and this is just like when you're saying that you're pro-female sports?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pro-female empowerment in athletics.
There you go.
Yes.
This is how that works.
This is another example of that. Presley's ultimatum prompted some backlash, as you would imagine. How about this? You can't be progressive if you support taxpayer-funded bailouts for wealthy people. And that's what this is. We've seen it time and time again, study after study that's been done, showing this does not help poor people. This helps mostly upper-middle-class people who got themselves into way too much debt and then got a degree that was completely useless to the real world. That's who this overwhelmingly helps. The poor working class generally didn't go to a four-year college and get themselves into six figures in debt. They didn't do that. That's the great scam of canceling student loan debt. It helps in many ways much more suburban left-leaning voters than it does actually help poor rural and urban Americans. Yet here's the brand. If you are not for canceling student loan debt, then somehow you are not anti-racist, meaning that you are on the other side racist. You see, this is how the sham works. So I'm asking you, if you're somebody
who maybe you paid for your kid's college. You know, you saved up for years, you did the 529, whatever it might be, or you just paid out of pocket. It didn't have to be a private four-year school. It could even be public school for 2 or 4 years, whatever it might be. But you put off vacations. You put off, buying that new big screen TV because you said to yourself, hey, I got to get some money away for the kids' college. Even if it's not a lot, I got to do that. I got to help them out as best as I can. If you did that, or if you're somebody who just paid your own student loan debt, you're being told that essentially if you don't buy into this crazy idea that we should cancel up to $1.5 trillion of student loan debt because, bigotry and racism, well, guess what? You're part of the problem. You are a bigot and you are a racist. There's a theme here. And the theme is if you oppose any of this, well, you are now the enemy. You are now part of the problem. And to me, very reasonable people can disagree on this idea that canceling student loan debt, number one, is morally wrong, and number two, doesn't actually help these colleges lower their tuitions, right? Think about this. If the government's going to just give these colleges the money that they're owed with no questions asked, what do you think is actually going to happen to the price of tuition? Do you think it's going to actually slow down? You think these colleges are going to wise up to the racket that they're running? You think that people are going to say, yeah, you know, I'm going to think twice now about going to college after the government just bailed out $1.5 trillion of student loan debt? You believe that's really going to happen? You think this is going to help the problem here? Because it's not going to help the problem. It's going to only worsen the problem. And you don't need a master's in economics to figure this out. 5767710. We're on the text line at 816-576-7710. If you're somebody who's paid off student debt, your own, your kids, you've tried to save for your kids, you're basically being called a racist if you don't want to bail out anybody who's got student loan debt. How does that make you feel? We'll get to you, news in two on KCMO. Well, as you're going to work today, I just want to let you know that you're a racist, all right? I mean, just get with the times and welcome to 2021. And you're like, what do you mean I'm a racist? What did I do wrong? I'm just, you know, waking up today and getting out the door and going to work. You're a racist. Get over it, you sucker. You're racist. Don't worry. I'm with you. I'm one, too. It's okay. It's okay. I say this very much tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, I'm reminded of Mandy Patinkin in Princess Bride, you know, when he says, you keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
That's a great example, John, and that's exactly right. And this latest story proves as such because Ayanna Pressley, she's part of the squad there with AOC and company. She said yesterday that you can't be anti-racist if you're anti-student debt cancellation, basically saying if you don't believe that we should eliminate the $1.5 trillion in student loan debt, it's actually $1.7, excuse me, then guess what? You are a racist. Now, hold on. People took this debt. It may have not been wise, but canceling is not the same as being racist, and it's up to Ayanna Pressley to prove me wrong on that, all right? It's up to her to prove me wrong on that. 5767710. Our text line is 816-576-7710. Eli is in Overland Park. Hello, Eli. Good morning.
Morning, Pete. Hey, I'm trying to keep score here in my car, and I think we now have determined, right, mathematics are racist, science is racist, how we finance college is racist, our laws are racist, vaccine distribution is racist, right? All at a certain point when everything is racist, doesn't nothing become racist? I mean, doesn't it just completely lose its meaning? It's like they've clung to this key phrase, this key word, and now they're just going to use it until it doesn't mean anything to anyone.
That's what they're doing, but and you're right, Eli, you're absolutely right. But here's the beauty of it. They don't realize they're doing it, and they're hoping that nobody else will realize that, and they'll just get in line before the gig is up, you know?
Oh, I agree, but I think, you know, right now the corporations are clinging to we'd rather side with these leftist policies than be deemed racist. But, you know, it's never going to be enough with them. Like you said, even when the anti-racists are still racist, it doesn't matter if these corporations start giving money to Stacey Abrams in Georgia. Next thing it's going to be, well, you need to set aside a certain percentage of your shares for minority populations. And unless your company is equally represented by minorities in its shareholder population, and now all of a sudden you're forced to start giving away equity in your company so you're no longer deemed racist.
Eli, that is excellent because you're right. There is no – here's what these corporations and these CEOs are dumb enough to think. And I really mean that. They are dumb enough to think that they can appease to a point and then they'll be left alone. But what they're actually doing is the opposite. They're opening the door to this. They're empowering these groups, and they're going to keep getting more and more and more and more and asking for more and more and more and more. And the minute you say no is the minute you're no longer on their side and you're a racist and a bigot and everything else that they've been accusing everybody else of being that you've gone along with up to a certain point in time. But now you're one of the enemies. That's how this ends.
100%. In the process, they alienate the party that is for economic freedom and for business rights and things like that. So it's lose-lose in every direction for them at the end of this.
Yeah, it is. Well said there, Eli. Thanks for the call, my man. That is absolutely right. And that's why we had on Charlie Gasparino of Fox Business earlier, and that was my question for him. I said, how is it that corporate America is going from Republican to Democrat when the policies that Republicans still advocate for, now it's more of a working class party, courtesy of Donald Trump, than it was pre-Trump, but the policies couldn't be more stark. I mean, it's clear, not only are the Republican policies better for corporate America than Democratic policies, the Democratic policies and some of the proposals have never been worse for corporate America. Yet corporate America is trying to appease the woke part of this country to get them off their backs or something. It doesn't make an ounce of sense. It doesn't. And they think they're going to just be able to do enough to appease them and then eventually they'll go away. That's not how this works. It's not. And the student debt is the latest example. On the text line, which is 816-576-7710, Pete, I'm currently pursuing my master's degree. I've never incurred student loans due to my persistence in paying for the education I signed up for myself. According to Ayanna Pressley, does this make me racist too? Absolutely. Absolutely it does. Get with the times, buddy. All right? Get with the times. Pete, I used the GI Bill for my college, paid for my son's college, and have funded my grandson's 529s. I should be thankful I had the white privilege to do so. Yep. Woo. All right. Let's go back to the phones at 576-7710 and say hi to Zach. He's in Gladstone. What's up, Zach? Good morning.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. What's happening?
I'm doing great myself. Jesse Jackson and Reverend Al Sharpton used to do this all the time.
Yeah.
Shake down corporations.
Oh, I mean, Al was, he was, you know, he was the king of it, man.
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
There you go.
You know, they're, you know, what was old is now new again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They'll do it before and they'll do it again.
And they got themselves very, very rich doing it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Look at him. I mean, you know, he paid off Tawana Bradley.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you
That's
what.
All ahead.
Yeah. I mean, look at what happened over the weekend. We found out, thank you, Zach, the leader of one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter, just gobbled up $3.2 million in real estate, including a $1.4 million home in Southern California in a neighborhood that is 88% white and 2% black. But BLM, baby, BLM. A self-declared Marxist. That's the catch here, too, you know? The Marxists are never actually, once they get a little bit of money, their Marxism quickly turns to capitalism, does it not? If you're a Marxist, you can't square the idea of spending $3 million on your personal real estate. I mean, that's everything that you've advocated against. But it is very interesting how that works when suddenly, you've got a few dollars. And by the way, how those dollars came to be, who knows? Corporate America paid you off and you ran with it and, you know, not sure what you did for the people that your mission is supposed to help, but you got really rich doing it. And for some, I guess that's good enough. That's why you just can't take this stuff seriously. You can't. But it's got to be so bothersome to you, this latest example from Ayanna Pressley, that you're not an anti-racist unless you believe in canceling all student loan debt. Based on what? I want to share this with you from the Brookings Institute. All right, you want to know why student loan debt has increased so much? Well, how about this? How about the fact that the federal government changed the rules to make loans cheaper and more broadly available? 40 years ago, Congress allowed parents to borrow. 30 years ago, Congress eliminated income limits on who can borrow, lifted the ceilings on how much undergrads can borrow, and eliminated the limit on how much parents can borrow. And in 2006, it eliminated how much grad students can borrow. So then what happened? What did the colleges do? The colleges said, this is great. People are going to want these degrees. The high school is going to push them to get these degrees. Parents are going to say, okay, well, you make more money on average with a four-year degree versus not having it. So even if it's, you know, six figures in debt, well, I guess I got to do it. And it was a beautiful, beautiful scam that was run between the federal government and these colleges. And they kept rising, rising, rising tuition costs. And then finally, maybe it seems like the rubber's starting to hit the road. But now it's like, well, we got to cancel all debt, as if somehow that fixes this problem. And it does anything but that. We're at 5767710. And the text line is always 816-576-7710. It's good to be with you on a Tuesday morning here on KCMO Talk Radio. Our buddy Michael Mahoney is going to join us at the top of the hour. Don't miss that. And next, I want to share with you a funny chart from the Kansas City Star and how it interprets what's happening when it comes to COVID here in our neck of the woods. That's next on KCMO Talk Radio.